Welcome back to the Brazenly Honest Podcast. Going to follow up the episode with college and anxiety with student loans and anxiety. I'm doing this again from my car. It just seems like it's easier to record, especially if I have to go see a patient that is like 30 minutes one direction or 40 minutes one direction. I could do a podcast episode, and yeah, it just seems like it's easier. So student loans, as a lot of people know, that's where a lot of my anxiety comes from, is just having student loans, that feeling of being like trapped in this debt that I feel like I can't escape from. But I am escaping, and a lot of it is due to, what is his name? My little sister was here, she would know his name. Dave Ramsey. See, and it just takes me a minute to kick in. But Dave Ramsey is the man when it comes to how to get out of debt. And so a lot of the things that I'm going to say in this episode is going to be ideas that come from him. I'm trying to think if there's anything else or anybody else that I got these ideas from. It's mainly collecting all of these different ways and ideas to get out of student loan debt over the years. I used my Pinterest page as a way to save different ideas, because what was happening is that I graduated from college and grad school, but I wasn't making enough money to pay off my student loans. Like, I was making enough to make the minimum payment, which was making it very hard, because over time I looked at my loans and I was just baffled, because the amount that I took out the loans for, that's how much they pretty much were after I've been paying on them for a decade. This is why you don't want to, and when I say that, people are like, what in the world does that mean? I've been on the income-based repayment plan since I graduated, and when you make the minimum payment, if you're income-based, then it's going to be a very small amount. So hopefully that makes more sense. A good idea is to find out what all debt you have, what all student loan debt you have, and you'll be able to search that. The way I found out was, I believe I found out, see, this has been a while, so I have to kind of think about it, but I believe I figured it out by using an app called Mint, M-I-N-T, and was that how I did it? Or maybe, no, I used those, what is it called? It's where you look up all of your debt to find out what your credit score is. So Credit Karma or whatever, something like that. Look that up and it'll tell you every debt you had. Like, I didn't think that I had as much debt as I did until I looked it up that way, and I found out, I was like, oh my gosh, I have this much debt, because I thought it was only like a certain amount. In my head, I saw the amount, and then it was way more than I expected it to be. Pretty much because I did a lot of stupid things in college, I think, that I talked about in the college episode. And now I'm going to pay for all of those. Because there are people out there that think, oh, we should forgive student loans. No. You were dumb enough to get the student loans. You got to be smart enough to get out of them. Now, it would be nice if the government would knock it down to like 0% interest or 1% interest. Right now, it's 3% interest, and I'm paying as fast as I can now that it's at 3%. So, Dave Ramsey tells us you could do one of two things or both. You can increase your income or decrease your spending. Or I'm going to say and or. So what I did was I started looking for another job. I found a job that pays $10,000 more. I knew that I was surviving on the job that I had, and so I have extra income, and that extra income goes to my student loans. I started selling plasma. There's a place called Ked Plasma, and I get about, it's right around $400 a month for selling plasma. You do have to be somewhat healthy, not like crazy healthy, but somewhat healthy. For instance, right now, I'm unable to sell plasma until I get my protein levels back up, because when they take your plasma, it depletes your protein levels. And so you have to get those levels back up. I've been, protein shakes, drinking protein shakes, and what else have I been doing? Pretty much anything that's going to increase the protein in my body. And I was exercising a lot, and so reducing the amount of strenuous, like, muscle exercises, like lifting weights, and just sticking with cardio, so that way I'm not using up as much protein. So you're trying to increase your income. I'm trying to think of other ways. Oh, I sell candy bars at work. I know that doesn't sound like a lot. I make like 75 cents a candy bar. And so it's not a lot, but it will add up over time. Or I could just use that as money to either, take some kind of, like, not a vacation, but have some fun with, you know what I mean? Like, go to see a movie, or use it to buy extra food, because I have a certain amount of money set aside. How about we jump into that? So what you need to do is figure out where all your money is going. So that's your bill allocation. So you're going to figure out, for instance, I have rent, $570 a month. Electric averages around 60, so it could be 70 something, or it could be 30 something. So I put away a certain amount for that. Cell phone, pay a certain amount on that. Car insurance, put aside a certain amount for that. Gasoline, food, haircut, like everything that I could possibly spend my money on, I know where all of my money goes. And then whatever's left over, I pay on my student loans. And I get paid every 2 weeks. And so I already know that this upcoming, like the first of the month, $570 goes to my rent, $145 goes to my student loans, and $150 goes to food. That's for 2 weeks. And then whenever it hits the 16th, then all of those little tiny bills that I have, I withdraw cash, put it in a envelope. And the reason that I withdraw cash and use cash instead of using a credit card is because psychology tells you that if you have to let something go, it is a lot harder. And you're probably wondering, what do you mean by letting something go? Letting something go is cash. When you give somebody cash, you see it going away. You see it being used. Because if you use a credit card, what happens? That card either does not leave your hand or it is returned to you. So you feel no sense of loss. Like, you might think, oh, well, I'm spending some money, but it doesn't click in your brain that it's that big of a loss, if that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. So you're in the process of trying to increase your income. You can do whatever it is. You can start a YouTube channel. You can get a part-time job, like a second job. You can do like I do and sell plasma. You can dog sit. Whatever it is you need to do in your spare time, that's what you can do. You're just trying to increase your income so that way all that extra income is used to... I'm driving, so I'm thinking while I'm driving. But all that extra income is to pay on your student loans. Every time that you get money, you want to automatically pay it towards your student loans. So, for instance, I sell plasma each week, and each week on Friday, I go and withdraw the money because it automatically goes on a card. The plasma money goes on a card. I withdraw the money, put it in my bank account, go online, and pay that amount towards my student loans. And the reason that I pay that amount towards my student loans each week is because student loans, the interest is accrued daily. A lot of people don't realize that. The interest is accrued daily, not monthly. So if you're making payments more often, you'll actually knock down your loans faster because the interest won't be able to build up as fast as it would if it was a car or a house. So a car or a house, you could pay a bunch of money each month and you would knock it out fast. It wouldn't matter if you paid it, you know, half of it one week and the other half the next week or whatever it was, because the interest doesn't kick in until, you know, whatever day on that month, because it's monthly. While student loans is daily interest accrual. So you want to pay off, as fast as you can, as often as you can, and as soon as you can. The other thing you can do is reduce your spending. So for instance, I do not have internet at my house. I have my phone, and that's the only internet I have. I do not have cable. I do not pay for Netflix. I do not pay for Hulu. I do not, like, I have movies that I've collected over the years that sometimes I'll watch those, or I do use Tubi. Tubi is a movie streaming app that's on my phone. I can connect my phone up to, I have a projector, I don't have a television, I have a projector, and I'll hook it up and I can watch a movie that way if I'm wanting to watch a movie. So I find as many ways as I can I live without this item? I've even been thinking about knocking out my my cell phone, my smartphone, and getting like a regular dumb phone, because those you can pay like, I think, 10 or 15 bucks for it, and that would save me $50 a month, and that's what, $600 a year. So $600 is about 4 student loan payments. That's 4 months worth of student loan payments, and I'm talking about the minimum payment, not what I'm actually paying. So you're trying to figure out ways to decrease your spending, increase your income. So let's figure out other ways you can decrease spending. Say you're paying for cable. You're paying, I don't know, I know some people who pay like $200 for cable, and I'm just thinking, that is insane, $200. You could actually just get Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Disney Plus, all of those for around 50 bucks. So that would cut your bill from 200 down to $50 if you needed to be able to watch it. If you're not as gung-ho as I am about it, then, and you just wanted to reduce it a little bit, you could actually just reduce it by just watching small things. You know, not small, but things that are, don't cost too much. Yes, you're not going to have as big of a, you know, you might miss your certain television shows that you really like to watch.
So you can cut your expenses in many different ways. You can actually go extreme. Dave Ramsey talks about how if you own, say you bought a new car. You bought like a $20,000 car and you're making payments of, I don't know, like $200 and some a month on it. You could actually, you would actually be better off selling your car, paying off the debt that you owe on that car, and then buying a cheap beater. Like the car that I own now cost me $1,500. But I also know that it's a Honda Civic, and that thing will last up to 300,000 miles. Like, I know it'll last me until I get my student loans paid off, and then I get a nicer car if I wanted to. So that's another way of reducing whatever it is you're trying to reduce, your bills. You can look at each one of your bills and decide, remember, you're trying to decide needs versus wants. Do I need this? Food. Yes, I need food. Apartment. My last apartment was almost $1,200 a month. I wasn't paying it by myself, but it's more. It was more than what I'm paying now. So I was able to get more money by living in, yes, it is a cheaper place. It's a low-income area, but I also check to make sure that there's not a high, you know, drugs or crime, you know, a lot of whatever it is that's going on in the area. Am I going to be safe? That's the other thing that I look for. And I got lucky, and it's an efficiency apartment in an area where everybody pretty much just, you know, is relaxed, chill. There's no drama. Nobody's outside, like, you know, revving up their engines or just pretty much doing stupid things that neighbors don't really care for. So that was another way of reducing my spending. I'm trying to think of other ways that you can reduce your spending. I mean, if you wanted to, you could get rid of your car. If you live close to work, you could bicycle to work, and you would save on gas money. You would save on, you wouldn't have to pay insurance, and you wouldn't have to pay your taxes on your car. That's just if you live close to work. I live pretty close to work, but I need my car because my family lives in another state, and I would probably cut. It would probably cost me the same amount to fly up there as often as it would to own a car and drive up there. Because I don't hardly pay anything because my insurance is, I pay, I think, $300 every 6 months, so $600 a year. And then gasoline to get to work, I spend, I would say, $30 every 2 weeks, so $60 a month. That doesn't seem right. No, I spend $30 a month on gasoline to get to work. And sometimes, like today, I'm thinking about I need to go drop my car off. So you do have repairs and you know, what is it called? Regular maintenances, like oil change, air filters, whatever it is, the maintenance that you have to get. So you got to make sure that you have savings for that. So each month, I set aside, I think it's $20 a month I set aside for maintenance, and my car does not need a lot of maintenance. Like, I decided I'm going to get my driver's side window is broken so that it stays up, but I would like to get that fixed so that way whenever I do drive up to family, I can roll that window down and not turn on the air conditioner, because driving in the mountains, it puts more strain on your engine, and it's just easier. Like, if I'm going up a mountain, I'd rather just turn my air conditioner off and have my windows down, and I have a sunroof, so I can open that up and just feel the breeze while I'm driving uphill, and then if I'm, or uphill, up a mountain. And then if I'm going, when I'm going down the other side, I can turn the air conditioner on and close it. However I want to do it. Maybe I'll just keep the window down the whole time. But it is a lot easier on my car. Like, I've figured out, over the years, I've figured out ways to make my car last a lot longer. So, you get rid of your car. You can, if you wanted to, if you can handle it. I've ridden the motorcycle. That's the only thing that I've owned is a motorcycle. During the winter, I wore full thermal gear. I was able to survive. And my motorcycle cost me, I don't know, it was probably like $100 and some a year for insurance. And it gets, I don't know, like 50, 60 miles to the gallon. So you figure out how much gas I was spending. So it did not cost a lot. The motorcycle itself cost $1,000. So you see what I'm saying? Like, if you can handle the elements, that's the key thing right there. When there's heavy rain, it hurts. Not hurt as in, like, I'm dying. Hurt as in, like, oh my gosh, this feels like tiny bees stinging me. So you can go extreme. Like, I've seen people on YouTube that don't even live in an apartment, that live, they buy a, what are those things called? Winnebagos, I think it is, that they sleep in. They'll sleep in it and just keep moving it from one spot to the next, so that way they don't have to pay any rent. So you got to think, say I did that. That's $570 plus the $60 for electric. And I just used it to pay towards my student loan. That's insane. Like, if I knew I could handle it, but I have trouble sleeping whenever it's too hot. So I'd have to have the air conditioner on all night. I just don't know if it would work out. I think that's too extreme for somebody like me. If there are some people out there that can do it. One guy actually paid off his student loans within a year, and he had, I don't know, like $80,000 in student loans, and he just lived in a Winnebago or some kind of, like, no, this guy lived in his van, in a big white Econo van, and he cut a hole in the back door and stuck a window air conditioner in there and had, like, solar panels. I mean, like, this guy had it. he was hardcore about it. I can't be that hardcore. I think that I would just, I think with my line of work, working with psych patients and just being a counselor, that it would just, I don't know, it might be too much for me. That would. But I'm giving you ideas, so that way if I say something and you're like, oh, well, I could do that, then go for it if you think you can do it. I love whenever, like, big rednecks have these trucks and they're like, we need to make my truck louder. Like, that's the noise you hear. I would say the guy that owns, or girl, it could be a girl that owns this truck, just took out all the catalytic converters and put some X pipes or straight pipes, and just, that's what that noise is. Because they're barely even moving, and it's that loud, so it has to have no catalytic converters. Like, let's save the planet. All right, that was our, that was a little intermission right there with a little bit of comedy slash sadness. I'm trying to think. I'm actually driving to figure out where I want to go eat lunch. Decisions. Oh, back to, yeah, see, you get distracted easily. So, work on increasing your income and decreasing your decrease your spending. Figure out what it is that you can live without. Needs versus wants. I don't have internet, like I said. Don't have cable. I'm trying to think of things that other people have that... Just have to find things that... Like, you still need to have a life. You cannot just... You just need to take your life instead of watching TV all day or all evening after work. For instance, I own a fishing pole. $20 for a fishing pole. We'll say it was like $30 altogether. Fishing pole, the license, all that good stuff. I do that. When I was younger, two tennis rackets, some tennis balls. That's all you need. Just go find an outdoor tennis court where you're allowed, you know, it's a public court, a basketball. Go find people to play basketball with. All I'm saying is that you can find ways to keep your, to have a good life, to enjoy your life while you're still paying off your student loans. Dating, I'm having a little bit of trouble with dating, and I think it might be just a mental thing. I think that, like, guys have this feeling like, I've got to spend money on my date. And I've in the past, I've been able to take girls out and take them to, say, a park, you know, something. Maybe go see a movie. Not go see a movie, because I like to talk with somebody to make sure that I actually like them instead of just being all quiet during a movie. But you try to find things to do that are inexpensive. I don't want to say cheap. Cheap just sounds like this is a cheap date. Like, it's a cheap date. But I'm finding it mentally hard to go out because, I don't know, maybe I'm just not in that space, the right space for dating right now. I was dating there for a while, but after a while, I mean, after some time, I was just like, I can't do this right now. I'm just too stressed. So figure out what your needs are, what your wants are. If you have, you can go through your house. You can do like I did. I went through everything that I own except for what's still at my mom's house, which when I go up to visit, I am going to have a yard sale and sell all the items that I have up there. I've sold, given away, or I don't know. I guess that's it. Sold or given away or thrown away everything that I knew that I could live without. So I've sold my rollerblades. What else did I sell? It's quite a few items, and I just can't remember what all it was that I sold. But all that money that I made selling those items went to my student loans. So I sold them, deposited my bank account, and automatically set it up for the next day to go straight to my student loans. I don't do it the same day just in case it accidentally goes through before one goes through earlier than the other, and then I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm screwed in a way, I guess. End up paying overdraft fees or something like something to that nature. I always keep $1,000 in my savings account at all times. You need $1,000 in your savings account. If your car breaks down, if you get really sick and you're unable and you don't have any vacation or sick time or anything, emergencies come up. That's not what your credit card's for. Your credit card is not for emergencies. I'm going to say that again. Your credit card is not for emergencies. You can actually live without a credit card. So keep $1,000 in your savings account at all times. Believe me, it comes in handy. And anytime that you use that emergency money for emergencies, stop paying the extra on your student loans, get the money back to $1,000. You should have it to $1,000 before you even pay extra on your student loans. You need that money for emergencies. Because mainly all this is about trying to make extra money and reducing your spending. That's the thing. You could figure that out. That's great. Like, I've known people to sell their house and go back to living in an apartment and just using the money that they used to buy their house, live there for about, I don't know, 10 years. And then, you know, because it was a good time to sell their house. You got to make sure that you're not selling it during a downturn. Sell it when it's worth a lot more than what you paid for it. Then you pay it off. And that extra money you pay towards your student loans, because you can get another house in the future after you get your student loans paid off. Because a lot of people will just want to graduate from high school. They'll buy a brand new car. They'll buy a house, property, all this stuff, and just go farther and farther into debt. And that's not smart. I mean, unless you just like to be in debt. I mean, go for it. If you just like to spend all that extra money and interest to whatever else you can spend it on, that doesn't bother you at all, go for it. But do the math. Figure out how much you're actually spending on that interest, those interest rates, on whether your, you know, your car, usually cars are around, what, 6% interest, something around there. Do the math. Figure out how much you're spending. Your house, figure out 4%, whatever it is, 5%. Figure out how much extra you're spending by the time you finish paying it off. And then you'll think twice about it. So, another way to get out of student loan debt, which I'm also using, is the government has different types of student loan forgivenesses. So you need to figure out which one is best for you. I actually use the Public Service Loan Forgiveness, the PSLF, Public Service Loan Forgiveness. You have to use the income-based repayment plan, the IBR, and you have to pay, you have to work for the state or federal government or some kind of I knew I'd go blank. This is hard to do without notes. It's kind of like Habitat for Humanity. It's where you don't get any, they're not nonprofit. Gosh, I had to like work through that one. So it's a nonprofit organization and you have to make sure that they accept it. So you always are calling whoever to find out if they accept these things. Teachers, your student loans are forgiven, or so much of your student loans are forgiven, every 5 years. If you're a teacher listening, then look up the, I forgot what it's called, teacher loan forgiveness or whatever it is. You're going to look it up and get your student loans forgiven that way. Mine is 120 payments. Any kind of public service, such as being a lawyer, being a doctor, being, a nurse. Like, there's all kinds of different ways. But make sure, you know, you got to weigh it out. Working as a nurse for the state, you're not going to make half as much, a quarter as much, as what you would if you were a traveling nurse. I have a friend that's a traveling nurse, and she makes big bucks. And so all she has to do is just survive and then use all that extra cash to pay on her student loans. Now, if you owe a lot of student loans and you don't make a lot of money like I do, then you want to do the 10 years, like the public service loan forgiveness, because it will just, I look at it as I'm making a lot more than I am, if that makes sense. Like, I make less than $30,000, and then, but if you took all of my student loans that are going to be forgiven and divided it by 10 for the 10 years, that's how much extra I believe I'm making. That's how I help myself mentally get through working for such little pay, because it adds up to be around $40,000. So, and I'm happy with that, $40,000 to work with psych patients and deal with stress and whatever else comes with this job. It's definitely worth it. So you're going to look for different ways to get through these student loans, to figure out how to get them paid off. Like I said, pay them off as much as you can. Any extra cash you get, whenever I get whenever I get my taxes done. When I do my taxes at the end of the year, if I do my taxes, it's free. I get whatever it is I get back, I get to keep. So last year was around $1,400. That $1,400 went straight to my student loans. The COVID money that they gave out, I forgot what that's called, the COVID relief fund. Whenever that was released, I gave it straight to my student loans. Any extra money, somebody gives me birthday money. Nobody gives me birthday. I don't think anybody gives me birthday money. I'm in my 40s, so I don't think anybody's giving me birthday money. I mean, somebody might have, and I just didn't think about it, but that'd be funny. Thanks, Mom. Thanks for the birthday money. Any money you get, you deposit in your checking account, you go online to your wherever your student loan is, and you just pay that amount automatically. Get it out of your hands, because you will spend it on something else that you probably don't need. I'm learning not to spend my money on materials. I'm learning to spend my money on actual events in my life, things that are going to make me happy, that I can like hold on to, like memories, because I don't need extra junk and stuff in my life. I'll weigh things out before I buy them. I'm not saying I don't buy things, but just say that I weigh it out. Am I going to use this a lot? Like, I own a snowboard. It's paid for itself. Because renting a snowboard and owning a snowboard that you go at least once every 2 years to go snowboarding, that's what I plan on doing this year. You get the use out of it. You get good use out of it. I'm trying to think of anything else. Public service loan forgiveness, teacher loan forgiveness. There are other ways, other things you can use to get out of student loan debt faster. Just make sure you're using income-based repayment plan, because even if you can't find something, after you've been paying on your student loans for 20 years, the rest of it's forgiven. I think that was passed by Obama. I'm almost 100% sure that was Obama that passed that. But you need to do that, so that way, you know, you've been out of school for 20 years. If you're still paying on your student loans, get them. But it's only federal. It's not private. That's why right now, since COVID's here, I don't have to make a payment on my federal loans, but they still count as payments. Like, you have to make 120 payments, but since it's COVID, they're not making us make payments, but they're still counting them as payments. I hope that makes sense. So 120 payments is 10 years. So I just have to get another, I think it's 5 more years, and then all my federal loans. But until then, I'm paying off my private loans, and that's going to take me probably the same amount of time as it's going to take me to forgive for my federal loans to be forgiven. So you just have to plan it out. You got to figure out how much you owe. The way I did it is I consolidated all of my federal loans. Do not consolidate your private loans with your federal loans. Do not. Your federal loans will not be able to, they will not be forgiven. You cannot do it. Consolidate all of your federal loans. Don't consolidate your private loans, because your private loans, each of them could be a different loaner, and it could be a different interest rate. So, for instance, I think I had, I'm going to say 8 different private student loans, which I didn't even know I had. I didn't even know I took out private loans. Like, I think the colleges are just like, here you go, here's you some money. I don't remember anybody saying, oh yeah, you got to take out this loan, it's private. Like, I just remember them saying, here, sign here. So, if you're like me and got through college and it didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to, nobody was there to kind of educate you and get you through it, then hopefully this can help you out. You can get through paying off your student loans. So the way I did it is, Dave Ramsey says to pay off the smallest student loan. If you're wanting to pay it off so that you pay less money for your student loans, then you'll pay the highest interest rate. But there is that slight possibility. Actually, it's bigger than slight. There is that huge possibility. What'll happen is you won't get any momentum, because you will feel so frustrated. Say you owe $10,000 with 7% interest, and you owe $3,000 with 3% interest. yes, you're going to pay a lot in the long run for that 7% on $10,000 than you are on that 3% on $3,000. But take mine, for instance. I had a bunch of, like, it went from, like, $800 for one loan, $900, $1,200, $3,300, $5,600, $8,700. I'm just making these numbers up. I mean, they're pretty close to what they were. And then $11,000. That's pretty much the way my loans were, pretty much. And so I just went to the smallest one and started paying towards it. Paid it off, and I was like, yes, I could, because I wrote them all down, and then I put a black line through it, and I was like, that one's done, and then I started paying on the second one, and I was like, boom, knocked that one out, and then I started paying on the third one, and I got on this momentum. I felt that drive to just, let's just keep paying. All right, how am I going to get more money? All right, I need to do this. All right, pay towards it, and now I've gone from those 8 loans down to 2 loans left. One a little over $7,000 and one a little over $4,000 left. So I may be paying more, just a little bit more in the long run, but I don't think I would have had that momentum. Say I had to pay the $11,000 one off, or $12,000, whatever it was. I think it was $12,000 at the time. So say I started paying on the $12,000 one because the interest was higher. And it's taken me forever, and I'm just like, gosh, this thing's just never going to go away. Because now that I'm at the larger loans, I do feel bogged down. I do feel it. Like, I'm paying towards them, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever to get these last two just to go away. So I recommend sticking to the what's called the snowball method and paying off the smallest loans and work your way to the larger loans, because you will lose. I mean, there's a large chance that you're going to lose momentum. So that's what I say I would do. Now, you're just doing this with private loans. You're not doing this with the federal loans, especially if they're going to be forgiven. If you don't have any private loans, just make the minimum income-based repayment plan payments, because I bet you, I mean, if you don't make a lot of money, because I bet you that you'll end up not paying that much in the long run. After 20 years, you probably, because right now my payments, when COVID's not around, my payments are like $46 a month. So I can't do the math right now, I'm driving, but $46 times 240 payments. So figure that out, and that's how much you'd pay in 20, or I'd pay in 20 years if I wasn't able to get them forgiven in 10 years. So, but instead, I'm able to get them forgiven in 10 years, so I'm paying half the amount, because I'm working in as a as a psychologist for the state. So look that up. I'm trying to think of anything else that might help you guys with your student loans that I know has helped me out. The biggest things are that you need to increase your income, decrease your spending, and try to find some kind of loan forgiveness plan. Do not consolidate your federal loans. Do not consolidate your private loans. Unless you get a really good deal, like a fixed rate that's the interest is maybe 4%, 4 or 5%, then yeah, go for it. Go for it, because you never know how that interest is going to fluctuate. But I mean, it's very hard to get something like that. But it's possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. Anything's possible. Not anything. But I hope this helped you guys out. I really wanted to make sure that I put this episode out there, because it's something that really, you know, it really bothers me because of my anxiety, and I'm really frustrated with the way the whole system works. Yes, the government said, okay, you know, we're going to let everybody get student loans, but it's not really made for the people of the United States. Like, this was made so that universities and banks win on this. If you think that this, they created this to help you out, you're just delusional. Like, because the cost of tuition has gone up 10,000%, or 1,000%. It went up a lot. It went up dramatically since the 90s. And I don't think that would have happened if these student loans were not given out. So I'm going to say that if you can follow the college, if you're going to college, follow the college episode before this. But if you've already gone to college or are already in college, then just good luck. Good luck. You're going to need it. Pay for it while you're in college. Pay for it as much as you can. Don't buy extra stuff. Live like you're as poor as, I don't know, the poorest person out there. And then that'll, hopefully you'll get through it. Appreciate you guys listening to me. And if you want to help me with my student loans, just let me know. Because I've got about, let's see here, about $27,000 left to pay on it. And I average, each year, I average about, I don't know, $8,000. So in about 4 years, I should have my student loans should be completely gone. I mean, not completely gone, because federal loans aren't forgiven for 5 years, so. But I'm working hard, and I'm making sacrifices so that, you know, sacrifice those 5 years so that I can be debt-free, because I do own a credit card, but there's nothing on the credit card. Oh, that's not my turn. So you guys can do it. If I can do it, you guys can do it. If you need motivation, look at all the other videos that are up of people that are paying off their student loans. It was really motivating for me, so I'm hoping it'll be motivating for you. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the Brazenly Honest Podcast.